Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Suella Braverman is expected to ask in a speech whether politicians need to consider whether international refugee rules are fit for our modern age. The senior cabinet minister has previously taken aim at the European Convention on Human Rights, signed in 1950, claiming it restricted the government's efforts to introduce tough policies, such as the Rwanda scheme. Members of the University and College Union are taking action over pay and working conditions for 5 days this week. We spoke to protest leader Simeon at the University of Manchester.
It's all about reducing the amount of deductions, but they don't want a time limit, which means some staff could lose up to a month and a half to 2 months of their whole year's salary, sometimes for just not marking 22 scripts or 10 scripts.
And actor David McCallum, star of the hit series The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and NCIS, has died at the age of 90. A statement from CBS said he led an incredible life and his legacy will forever live on through his family and the countless hours on film and television that will never go away. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Ricky Williams.
The Cupra Summer Event is here. Enjoy 0% APR with PCP financing across our range, including the 100% electric Cupra Born that leads a new generation of performance. And on the thrilling Cupra Formentor, what car best coupe SUV car of the year 2023? Our 0% APR finance offer ends the 2nd of October. Don't miss out. Search Cupra Summer Event. Maximum 36-month term, minimum 10% deposit. Indemnities may be required. SEAT Finance.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders, and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
What does the future you look like? Studying with GBS, you are the future entrepreneur, accountant, construction manager, healthcare professional, or tourism specialist. We offer flexible study options and HNDs to degree-level education on 9 state-of-the-art campuses across London, Birmingham, Manchester and Leeds. Enrolment is open now. Find out more at globalbanking.ac.uk. Study with GBS and shape the future you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Shaun Bakary. If something in your body doesn't feel right, talk to us. Don't let the worry of cancer play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Until you find out, you can't rule it out. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit damashak.co.uk.
Colorful radio. Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you are listening to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. And today we are so much privileged on our show to be joined by a great, great man who has done Africa proud through art. He's an artist. His name is Gerard Chukwuma, and he's from Nigeria. A great, great man. He's done great work. I'm really proud of him. And sir, there was a way to shout out Africa, I'll be the loudest. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julius. Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be on this amazing global show. And you're also doing Africa real proud with what you're doing, and we're all very amazed by it. Thank you.
Wonderful. It's amazing. And of course, to our listeners, we are coming to you all the way, wherever you are, from the heart of London. And this will be on Colorful Radio, so keep it colorful and join us. And then, we'll really, really enjoy. You can always conductors. You can post your messages on Facebook. Don't be left out. Art happens to be less spoken, but it's one of the most powerful. I live in London. Every day I see shopkeepers struggling, really, to keep their doors clean. Why? Because they are unseen characters who come and draw graffiti almost every night. And I'm sure they enjoy it.
That expression, you know, it bottled up in and they wanted to throw it out. And that's the best way they can express themselves.
Exactly. It's communication, isn't it?
It is.
They're saying something.
I agree with you.
I wish I could understand every piece of graffiti because it could be so powerful. It's hidden. We don't understand it, but it's so powerful. So many messages that go uncaptured.
Yeah.
You, because when you don't understand that, probably most of the time you look at it, you're like, okay, I don't understand. It just looks like a tree. Looks like a cow.
Truthfully also, even the artists really don't understand everything they do sometimes. You know, some emotions can only be let out not by words, by those kind of expressions, or by even by vocal expression, but you know, when you express it pictorially, oftentimes it comes deeper from the soul, and sometimes that's the best way to let out your emotions. And so even the artist is sometimes under everything, you know.
Most of the time, Gerard, people keep asking the same question: what will you be when you grow up? And some people know, others even graduate in university, but yet they don't know. I mean, how did you start this journey of art, and what inspired you? And of course, I want to make our listeners understand more when we talk about art. What are we talking about as well?
For me, how did I get into it in the first place? I started knowing this in my spirit, because you see, you can tell what someone is going to be by what they enjoy to do, even as early as 2 years old. The kind of things they like to see, what they like to do. For me, I found myself trying to play with a lot of things all the time. You know, did my graffitis on our walls too, got spanked for it sometimes, of course.
Wow.
But for me, I was expressing myself, and I didn't know it was art. But I knew it was the best way I could express how I felt and what I wanted to say. And so another thing I found out was I like to deal with colors. I enjoyed colors a lot. Was it dressing? If they asked us as a young 2-3-year-old, 5 years, to go wear something, I'll jumble all my colors together. And they say, no, it's not like that. But I didn't know I was enjoying colors. And so when I tried to express myself, even on paper, I like to go with different colors of pens or pencils. And so that's how I started to feel that there was something there. I didn't know what it was, but that it was calling me.
Wow. What age are you at this particular time? Because I can really understand someone in a household messing up the walls with colors.
that's what they
what
call it.
What daddy say? What do mommy say?
That's what they call it, you know.
Mm.
But it was my escape route. If I found it difficult to express anything, I found out that I could do it easily on a pictorial ground. And so if I was feeling sad, I was feeling very happy, I was feeling almost introverted, whatever I was feeling, I was safe with the art. I was happy with the art. And the art world that I expressed in at that time could understand me. And so it was a bit beyond normal, what I could even understand. Today is almost the same thing, just that it's a bit advanced, that's all. And so I could tell my stories with my colors, with my textures, with my motifs, with my emotions, but I tell them on the pictorial ground. And so it's about storytelling, really, but storytelling in the best way I can. Yeah.
But this time it's more organized.
Is it more organized? Maybe when I come out for exhibitions like this, it looks more organized. You need to come to the studio.
I'll find you. You know, painting is not everybody's cup of tea. But one day I was very ambitious. I said, I'm going to buy the paint. I'm going to do it myself. And I was determined to beautify, to adorn my house as best as I could. Because I'm the one doing it. I'll do it in a way that I like. But I promise you, it's not an easy thing. Yeah? I started well. But later, I had my son come and look at me, look at the wall. And then he asked me, between you and the wall, who was being painted?
Oh my goodness. That's what it is. Even when you paint, you know, artworks, you get painted too. Because what I always say is that you do the work and the work will do you.
Yeah.
That's when you know you have gotten into an agreement with whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And that agreement is symphony. Once it gets that way, I think you enjoy what you're doing. So yeah. If you have painted the wall and the wall didn't paint you, I don't think you painted it.
In my case, it painted me successfully.
That's serious.
I became a total white man. And I'm talking about color. Real color.
That's a good one.
White in color, pure color, you know, because I was using that color for my wall. So it's amazing. So, yeah, we are here with you, and of course, I know you are at the back of your book launch. That was just happened, and this happened in London. Do you want to share with us about the book? How was it, and what is it about?
Well, the book and a documentary about my life and my work is an initiative by the Almas Art Foundation, a beautiful one at that. They try to capture African creatives and try to bring out a document to help tell our story by ourselves, which is very important. And of course, to get a document not just for the coffee table, but to inspire people who's coming behind us, because some of us didn't see what to read. We didn't see what to inspire us, really. We saw the other books from all over the West and other artists, but we didn't really see ours. And I think that's why this book was very interesting. It's titled Together, Together, and that's really the message, Together, Together, because if you come from here, you come from here. If you agree, we can reach even further than the moon. And so the book really, it's a description of who I am, how I started to do my art, a full interview of how I started and how it is now, images of how I started as a student and got to this point now. It's a full monogram, fantastic publication, a very beautiful documentary that captured the studio life, captured the other life. I don't call it there. For me, it's studio, but captured everything I used to do and still do from inception to production to, you know, exhibitions. And we had beautiful contributors also, you know, who wrote about, you know, Chibundu, who's also a writer, and Professor Chrissy Kwemesi, you know, writing about what they know about me and my work. Professor Chris was my teacher in the university, so he really understands everything about me and how I have moved. And so it's for me writing our history by ourselves. I think that's very important. Yeah.
I quite like the title, Together, Together.
Yeah.
Unity, Strength. And of course, you're talking about this coming from wonderful country of Nigeria, where we have a very powerful writers. Actually, most of them are my favorite.
Wow.
And I quite liked Chinua Achebe, the book Things Fall Apart.
Amazing book.
The importance of Together, Together Again.
Yeah.
It's one line he uses in his book. For the sender to hold, people have to be together.
But
in his line, he was like warning us, if the sender cannot hold, things will fall apart.
Definitely. That's it. And that's really why I'm happy with the title, Together, Together, because if Almas Art Foundation didn't find me, if Christine Jelajed Gallery did not see my work and then brought it to London, and then the Almas Art Foundation has seen the work and they didn't agree and we didn't agree, we probably won't be having this interview today, this discussion, this conversation, and the world won't hear. And the thing is, there are many of these artists everywhere in Africa, in Nigeria, who needs to be heard, who needs to be seen. But I think it's not possible unless it is something, an agreement comes from somewhere. Sometimes they don't have the opportunity. We really don't have all this opportunity as we're supposed to, but with so much creatives, talents overflowing. And so I think we need these collaborations, the together, to make these things come out to the world, because this is who we are. We were born creative. We were conceived in creativity. Everything about us is creativity, and we express creativity flawlessly. This is who we are. This is our makeup, and I think it is beautiful if we continue to showcase it. Be it writer, be it artist, be it music, be it film, and I think we're doing great, and I'm happy with the fact that Together is out here in the world today.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
That's brilliant. So then, of course, was it an easy journey? Because you see people who meet with you today and they're like, wow, this guy, I just want to be like him when I grow up. They see success. You don't see the journey. Even from that moment you were messing up with paints in your house. From that moment, was it an easy journey? Was it like, oh, you came, you went to school, you went to university, and you became successful?
Wow. I wish it was so. But to tell the story the way I think it will be understood, I'm going to just tell one story. On the first day I entered the University of Nigeria, Nsukka, I had a long trail. My parents didn't understand what I was doing. They even asked me not to do it because they thought I was, in quote, wasting my time. I didn't blame them, because what would you be doing with art when you didn't have food on the table? There was a fine farm. You could till the soil. There were streets you could hawk. So what are you going to do, painting and scribbling all over a wall, getting it dirty for us to paint again? And so I understood that. But why am I going to tell this story? Because of the journey. I walked into the University of Nigeria, Nsukka, after spending many years trying to do other things. In fact, it took me 10 years to come from my secondary school, which is maybe high school, to the university. It took me 10 years. And that 10 years, I was... I was walking in limbo. I didn't know. I knew I wanted art, but I didn't know what it was. And nobody knew what it was. And so I tried many things, succeeded in some of them, but didn't like what I was seeing. It was tough for my spirit, for my soul, and eventually for my body. So when I got to the University of Nigeria, so I got admission, I walked into the art department. That was the only place I wanted to go to, in fact. And I saw a clipping on the wall. It was a newspaper clipping. And it read, a certain Nigerian-Ghanaian artist, El Anatsui, won a prize in Osaka, Japan. And I said, goodness me. Now, that's what I saw. That's just what I saw. And I said, well, if he went to Osaka and won this prize, global prize, it means it's easy for us to do it. That was inspiring. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to see what I can do. Now, when I went back, I started lectures. I made a nice canvas work and said, this will qualify for Osaka. I think it will qualify for Osaka. And when I brought it out, you know, my lecturers looked at it and pointed out, they didn't know I wanted it to go to Osaka. They just said, they thought I was showing it to them. And they pointed out all the things that shouldn't be there and the things that should be there. And I looked at it in the second lesson and I said, well, I actually spent time just scribbling. What am I saying? I saw that post, that newspaper clipping, and I thought it was easy. And I tried it out and I found out it wasn't easy. Now, it took me another 15 years or so to come to do a radio show with you. And that 15 to 20 years has been all work and work and work. It's not an easy journey, but it's worth doing. Even trying to become an artist from where I come from, it's not an easy thing. You can't even say it. At the time I became an artist, it wasn't public to say, you know, let's become artists. And then when you started the journey, you will be completely discouraged. If you didn't know your path, if you're not a true artist, you will be discouraged. Because you see, when you do art, you often do art from the soul and the spirit. And sometimes your pocket is not telling the same story. Your soul and spirit are on fire. Your pocket is dead dry. How do you continue? You want to eat first before you do art, before you become creative. And so if you don't get into yourself, you will give up. And that's, in my class, there were about 50 of us. It's not more than 4 practicing artists. Why? They all loved art. That's why they went to school to read art. What happened along the line? So it's not an easy journey, but I always tell people it is a beautiful journey. If you find your bliss, you will live in bliss. Now, finding your bliss is not always easy. Finding your bliss is painful, but when you find it, you will live in bliss. You will be joyful. You will sleep and wake up with joy. And I think that's what the journey is all about. It's not simple. It cannot be simple. It was tougher when we started because you couldn't even buy paint. I used every sort called that is paint. I used everything as paint, anything I could find. It's easier now to find. But it is a long journey. And just keep doing what you're doing. People are looking at you. People are seeing it. Some people see it to discourage you. Some others see it. Much more people see it to encourage you. We live in a beautiful world. You know, the soul cannot be exchanged for anything. No, it cannot be exchanged for anything. And so, when Alma's Art Foundation found the work and found me, it was an agreement already happening in the realm of the spirit. And we're just playing it out. But to get to the acknowledgement of the spirits, you have to spend some time at it. Quality time.
And I guess it's a huge expense, because I can just imagine being on the ground somewhere in Africa. You want to do art. You need paint. Paint costs money. Exactly. And you're not working.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. It's imported. So if it's imported, yeah, it's expensive.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've always longed to meet with an artist like you. There's a question that surprises me all the time. Like, you can come from Nigeria, you can draw amazing, fantastic piece of art, and you can do all that, but I come across the West and I see some artwork. Some of it is not very appealing. But when you hear the cost of a paint, £7 million. What makes it expensive? Because some of it I look and I'm like, I can get someone who can do better than that. But they're not known. Yeah? Picassos of this world.
Yeah.
What makes a difference? Do they do some seasoning on the paint?
Have I thought about things like this? Yeah, I have. So you're not alone. But you see, it's beyond what you see on the canvas. It's beyond what you see on the wood panels. The journey into the spirit realm is for those who live in the spirit. What I mean is, it takes those who live in the spirit to see what the spirit realm brings out. And so I can walk into an artwork and I feel different from just anybody who is at the door of the spirit. It's deeper than that. Line is not just a line. No, it's not a line. And so oftentimes when you don't understand it, that's why you don't understand it then. I think we climb this ladder of awareness. We climb this ladder of awareness. We all begin to become aware until suddenly it hits us that, wow, that's what it is. There are also practical works, like the dark figures started getting into our artworks because Black Lives Matter. And that's a statement of the times. Now, that's also very pictorial, and that anybody can understand. But right in deep with that, there's something from the soul that's making the figures look how they look. So, again, the time of practice is also very important. If a person has done this for 25, 30, 40 years, and it's he or she, they are still there doing this, there's something they are doing. There's something deeper than what you see. They have interacted with other things that you may not have interacted with, or I may not have interacted with, and they bring out these things. I mean, over 40 years, something is you have built something, and that thing has come to life. So there's a seed, but it has grown. And so sometimes the less you see, the more there is in it. And I asked those questions. Why? I saw some paintings as a young artist, and I said, and I came to Lagos for an exhibition. I didn't. My lecturer sent me to bring some, so I brought it. And I said, well, you know what? Let me move around Lagos. So I went for an exhibition, and at that time, more than over 20 years ago, I saw the prizes, and I said, what? I can paint this, man. I can do this. And of course, a young student was in first year. I went back to school immediately, and I tried to see if I can paint something like that. Did I get it right? Oh, sure. I painted it well but was anybody going to prize my work for $7 million at that time? Sorry, no. You see, right there, when I saw the two works, you know, I knew that these guys did something that I obviously didn't know. For instance, the layers of the paints look like they had put probably 5 to 10 colors on top of each other. I didn't know that technique at all. I didn't even know how it was done. They were glazes. So even technique also matters. So it's all encompassing, the techniques, the length of practice, but more, the journey into the spirit. That, I think, is the major thing. Yeah.
There's an African country which was going through a dictatorship, and the president was so keen to control his own people even from leaving the country. So even leaving the country was so difficult. And what happened was a wonderful cartoonist drew a cartoon that I remember to date. And this was a map of the country, and he put all the military on the borders of the country, but their guns were not pointing outside. When you are a national army, you fight for the country from external attack. But on this case, all the guns were pointing inside the country because of the dictatorship, because of the controlling people, because they didn't want to leave the country. And while that was happening, in the next door country, a rocket flies above the army on the border and lands in the middle of the country. The cartoonist wrote a memorable words. Obviously, the inside was hotter than outside.
Yeah.
And amazing. You see, it's true, isn't it, when they say pictures speak higher volume than words?
I agree with you. Yeah, yeah. 1,000 words can't speak what a picture can speak. 1,000 words. Some of the things we bring out come from what we face in our countries. So that's why it would be almost impossible for me to leave Nigeria, because my emotions come from there. And even though most of my works may not be political, I like to, my solutions are on my artwork. So when I see what goes on around our country, our continent, I try to find solutions that I see the future looking like on my pictorial ground. And the cartoon you talked about now, isn't it what is happening in most of this continent, in this our continent? Even though there are no guns pointing, you can feel them pointing at you even while you walk on the streets. And these are the things we tell when we do our walks. In a simple taxi, you feel unsafe sometimes. It's so sad, but that's reality. We're not happy with it, and so we try to speak about these things using our medium, and we're getting there slowly. It's going to get better, but we need to talk a bit more.
Indeed. So then, back to your work. Let's talk about your solo exhibitions. Yeah. And where you've been and exhibited as a solo artist. And yeah.
Well, I'm having a solo exhibition even now in London. It's at the Christine Jelajed Gallery in London Bridge. It's titled Homeostasis. And it's like living in equilibrium, because at this point in my career, I think that that's, you know, it's not a landing pad, but it's a takeoff pad, really, because I had done many things over the years and tried a few other concepts. And then I think it's time to now say, you know what, this is the direction, and done a few other experiments. I've had two solo shows in London, yeah. I've had a solo show in Berlin. I've had collections in the World Bank, in the University of Nigeria, in London here, even at the Africa Center here. I have a work here, and I've had two or three solo exhibitions in Nigeria. I've had in Ghana, and then I've had in the US. I've had a few shows talking about telling our stories. I'm a storyteller, telling our stories on canvases and on pictorial grounds like wood. I work a lot with wood, and a lot of colors, and of course a lot of found aluminum sheets. And so yeah, we've been around a bit.
Colorful radio.
And then group exhibitions as well.
Yeah, I mean, same. I've had in London, I've had in the US, I've had in Nigeria a lot. That's how we all started, group exhibitions one after the other, until people started to notice what you do, and then, you know, single you out to have solo shows. And I've had over 20 exhibitions, you know, in the last 20 years. Yeah.
Wow, it's always amazing just to see an exhibition, but it takes a lot of work. Yeah, indeed, preparation, expectations, and also the actualization of seeing it happen. And do you remember the one that stands out the most? And if so, why?
I was very privileged to be at the inaugural Artex Lagos. That was the first art festival, West Africa Art Festival. It was a big step by Artex, led by Tokini Peter Seiden, I think, yeah, formerly Peter Seiden, married now. It was a large step, and I was privileged to be part of the people who exhibited that. I was exhibited under a gallery called SMO Gallery, and it was a big feat. We were taking a chance. It was the first time it was happening, 2016 or so. It was a big chance, and nobody knew what was going to be. Would it go forward, or would it just die? And so for some of us who got in, we got in like stand on the balance, but we had hope, we had faith, we had confidence, because we believe that, you know, it's happening all over the world. We've had the 154 here in London. We have the one in New York. We had all over the world. We had the Dakar Biennale, but we didn't have a West Africa thing. And so Tokini took a major step, and I was one of the people who exhibited that inaugural. For me, why do I talk about that? For two reasons. One, it was the first, and we were part of it. Now, that's a beautiful thing. Secondly, which is very important, it was at that exhibition that I first encountered other galleries that started to move me from there to Ghana, from Ghana to London. Now that tells me one thing: if it moved me, it moved other people too. If you showed our works to some place in the world, then it showed other people's work. So it is an opening also. That's why I think it's significant. And it's been growing over the years. It's been growing over the years, and it's getting better. I think for this year, it's in early November. And now it's bringing in, you know, an exodus of people from all over the world to come see. That for me is very significant, because now we can tell our stories, but tell them by ourselves, and even get the world to come see and hear our stories right on our land. That for me is a major point of, and that's where I started. Even the book and this, I'm sure the Almas Art Foundation may not have come to see me there, but from that exhibition, that Artex Festival, down to Ghana, down to South Africa, down to London, and now here we are. So I think that every exhibition has been very important, but that's a turning point for me, and I think that's very important.
Congratulations for great work you are doing. So then, When you look into our society, when you look into our school system, educational system, how much do you think we need to create awareness of the importance of art?
For me, it's not just of art, but of what kind of art and of how of art. What do I mean? I'm going to look at now for the younger ones, we should just introduce this art as, because it's creativity opens your mind. Creativity opens your mind to everything, because if you live in the creative environment, everything is possible. And so for the younger ones, for our year 1 to 10 probably, you introduce as just art, and that's enough. But it has to be emphasized. It's as important as mathematics, probably more important, because mathematics comes at a definite conclusion, which is beautiful. That's why the planes can fly the way they fly. But creativity, it doesn't have a definition. It can overflow. And so that's how I can think of building a house on the moon. Without creativity, you may not. After creativity comes calculations. So if we want to live on the moon, then let's calculate how it works. So I think it's very important. But more so for the higher institutions, I think the curriculum needs to be re-examined. I came out from the university meeting a rude shock that what all that is not all there was supposed to be. And so while I was in university, I was taught a few things, but I didn't understand some things that I'm facing now. I'll give you a simple example. I think a curriculum should have financial education as part of it. Now, am I supposed to go to the university to read any creative course, probably art, as I read, and I'm thinking about money? Probably not. Should I have an idea? Yes. Why? It makes you more efficient. It makes you a better planner. It makes you more relaxed so that you can do your work. And so sometimes some of us come into this world and didn't think that it was important. And what happens is that you get a rush and it dries off like a river, because you didn't know what to do. You didn't know what to put in place for continuity. And incidentally, there are no institutions helping the matter like it is done all over the world. Like in London, a gallery is working with an artist, you can plan a little for the artist. It's not there in Africa and Nigeria. And so you come out a great talented artist, you think that's all it is. No. There's the organization part of it, organized part. There's the financial part. There's the planning part. This actually is somehow the job of the galleries. But I think before you get a gallery, you should be dealing with it. And so I think that, yes, we should introduce it early in life, and so much to open the minds of our lives. But also when we get to the serious part, which is major creative fine art, dramatic art, you know, all the creativity departments, we should add a few more things. We should add a few more things. For the art department, I think there should be a certain... We had some electives like the GS English, sometimes philosophy, but I think things like accounting, financial management, so that you will understand that I should know certain things, so that when I come out, I know how to even price my works. Even simple things as pricing your works, you know, not just leaving it to only the public. You should be part of it. First, it is you, you know. And so a few other things should be. I think the curriculum should be juggled a bit. Even how to exhibit. I didn't know how to exhibit. I didn't know best practices. My only exhibition I had as a student was my final exhibition, and we just put up works everywhere. Now, we were taught that, but probably not practically. Maybe some schools now teach them practically, but I think there should be more emphasis on things other than just the process of production. Yeah, that's what I think.
Great. I fully support you, because a lot needs to be done so that the future generation is not going to be juggling with problems that you juggled with.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, they can do it better.
Yeah, I agree.
You come from it's an Igbo culture. Yeah,
yeah.
And as journalists, I know we are told we mirror the society.
We do.
And in terms of arts as well, How much is your hard work also an exhibition of African culture, Igbo culture?
Yeah, I agree. We mirror our culture, but I also think we're global now because we have a lot of influences here and there. But the character of where you come from lives in you. I'm going to use this. I'll translate it. It says, Igbo dike echi, echi adega agwo agwo, meaning that the Igbo is like tomorrow. Tomorrow never finishes. Tomorrow does not end. That's the character of the Igbo man. I think that I have that kind of character. So even though it's not working the way I want in that art, or the way I want it to in the art, I ain't giving up. I ain't going nowhere. Now, for me, that's a character of my culture going into the work. Now, let's go to the pictorial. In my work, pictorially, you will see a lot of Uli and sometimes in CBD. They are not pure as I met them when I learned about them in school. But I like that. It's like Pidgin English. It's a modification of... I think Pidgin English is a modification of English. I don't know if everybody agrees with me, but I think so. It's a modification. Because, you see, why do I say so? If you come to Nigeria and quote, the lingua franca is English, right? But no, but not everybody understands it. But everybody understands Pidgin English.
Yeah.
That's marvelous. So it's a modification. It's better than English. Sorry, I don't know if that works, but that's what I think. it's better.
It works.
Oh, thank you.
That's why BBC had to adopt
exactly
Pidgin English to broadcast in Pidgin English. Exactly. They left their English.
I am happy with that.
To broadcast.
Because everybody understands it. The modification is usually better than the original. And so that's what is happening in my work, the Uli that I found. I've tried to do... So I told myself, every of my work will have an Uli, even though I don't know what it means exactly. If I don't know that symbol, I study it and I cannot know, because we didn't have records. And so we cannot record all their meanings. So the ones I know the meanings, fine. The ones I don't know the meanings, I continue to do them. But now, it has sort of metamorphosed to a point where it's becoming a new adaptation of that language, and I'm happy to keep it. And that's what I do to keep that culture, even the global... enthusiast, because we, all the blood is red in every culture. I still know that I can keep my culture, keep my language, because if you steal a language, you steal a people. And so I try to keep that Uli and that CBD appearing in my work over as a memorial. That, I mean, we can't go deep into everything and why I do, but that's how I make sure that if you see the work in the Himalayan mountain, you will be sure that I made it if you saw Duli in it. If you didn't have Duli, it probably wasn't this guy here who made it.
Colorful radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
You say that to you, art is an escape.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
As a young boy, that's what it was. You see, you are battled with many things as a Nigerian young boy, born in a poor family. You know, parents are just trading and all that. You also want, you were told to go do certain things. You have to go trade, you have to go farm. You have to, not that they were bad in themselves, it was part of training. But you see, everybody is born with a certain trait. I'll give, for instance, if you love to play football, at that time your parents would chase you helter skelter to leave that ball. It was interrupting with your daily life that was important. Now, we all had these things. So when I had finished my chores, done everything I was supposed to do, I still wasn't satisfied until I got into art. It was like watching TV now. You escape into somewhere. So I escaped into art. But you see, over the years, I started to grow and know a few things. It didn't stop being an escape place. It became a therapeutic place. And so I find solace in my art. I find joy. I have been in near-death situations and I thought it was over and out. And then when I got into my studio, I found hope again. I found joy. I knew there was something to live for. And, you know, I started again and here I am still. So it's escape because I didn't understand what it was doing. But now it's more therapeutic than escape. And if you live in Nigeria like I do, you need somewhere to escape to every day. Otherwise, you could just, as a creative, you could lose track. And so I create my studio in a way where once you walk in, you disappear. You just shut the door and you are no more in anywhere but the studio. And so that's what it means. And then another escape and therapy I talk about is the mental one. For instance, we have a lot of things going on in our place. We just had elections and some people agree with the outcome, others don't. Whichever way I stand, I can't do anything other than talk on my canvas, probably join this group or that group. But if I wanted to agree with myself, it was my studio. It was where I got in and said, you know what? Okay, we live to fight another day. Or, yeah, we agree with it. Let's make people know that this is the truth. And so my studio is much more than where I produce. It's where I weave the fabrics of life, the way the ball is thrown to me, and try to make something out of it. So it has graduated from escape to therapy.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I think it's a fantastic thing. You know, sometimes I say, you know, you don't have to be rich, but you're rich as far as your mind can take you.
Yeah.
And sometimes I say, you're looking at me. In my mind, I'm in Barbados, enjoying the sunshine.
Exactly.
By the seaside. Yeah. And I'll come back late.
That's a good way. That's a good way to catch the sun.
Exactly. Yeah, I escape because why should I be in a boring place? It's wintertime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have to go out. I'll look at the weather outside. I'll stay in my sitting room.
Yeah.
And there I can escape to anywhere I want to, sunny.
Thank God for the internet and all the social media. You can travel as much as you want.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a joke told about a staff who was caught by someone who could report him to the boss sleeping while he was working. And to justify himself, he told the person, I agree with you, I was asleep, but it was so rude of you to wake me up, because when I was asleep, I was dreaming, I was a billionaire, I was doing shopping. Now you woke me back to poverty.
He was meditating, actually.
Exactly. He woke me back to poverty.
Exactly.
Where I was
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He brought me back to poverty, yeah, by waking me up.
So
escape is important.
Very.
And I like the idea that you have managed to, you know, bring that to, you know, this to the facts of life, because I can see a lot of people listening, yeah, they are seeing art in a different way. It's not perhaps what they see, because yeah, when you're walking around, you just see pictures, but when you see people interpreting what it means, you're like, I can only see an image, but why are you saying there are valleys I can't see on it? All that. So, no, it's great, but also I like the fact that you are real, you be yourself, you represent, you're not shying away from representing your culture. Yeah. Because, yeah, BBC had to accept Pinch on English.
They had.
And adapted in
they
broadcasting.
Had. Or they will be lost.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Otherwise, my funny moment in Nigeria also, because it's also cultural. You come from London or any other country, and I found myself in Lekki. I wanted to take a taxi from the hotel to ShopRite.
Okay.
No, you know ShopRite.
Yeah, sure.
And I told a friend, where can I get taxi? And he was telling me, you're standing next to them. And I look around, I couldn't see any. Because I'm looking the word Uber.
Yeah.
Taxi.
Yeah.
Minicab.
Exactly.
That's what I was looking for. I couldn't see.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't see nothing. But he said, but you're surrounded by cars, taxi cab. You know, I'm like, no, I can't see them.
Yeah.
And then he picked my hand and just took me to the car that was next to me. It had this funny wooden sign.
Yeah, yeah.
It was some... saying, take a drop.
Yes. Yeah, take a drop.
I have said it earlier,
yeah.
But in my head, my London mindset, other African mindset,
yeah.
I was like, in Nigerians, they carry drops. How big must the drop of water be to warrant being carried?
You know, light.
It didn't make sense.
Yeah, light.
But it's now when you realize they've picked up all this and localized it. But you have to understand it.
Yeah.
It's now for me.
Yeah.
Just like BBC, it's for me to adapt.
Yeah.
It's never wrong to be yourself. And that's what I like about you and what you're
doing. It's never wrong. It's never wrong. That's your best place in life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's better to be you are. Let the world adapt. Yeah. So when Obama became president, those who thought he couldn't, they would give him funny name. Instead of saying Obama, they would say Osama.
Nobody thought it was possible.
But they laughed. They had
it happened.
And the other example would be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Very long name.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised I can sound it out. When he was to be enlisted to acting career, some suggested you need to change your name.
Yeah.
It's too long.
Yeah.
You can't say it clearly. Change it to something user-friendly.
Yeah.
They say, you don't want my name, you don't want me.
Exactly. Because when the name goes, the person goes.
Exactly.
When the name goes, the person disappears.
Yeah.
And even his accent.
Yeah.
Even his accent, they wanted it to go away. And that accent was what made him popular. Made him an enigma in the screens, the big screens.
And one day became governor of California.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It singled him out.
Exactly. So, that is one thing that we are learning very loudly from this show today. Be yourself.
Be yourself.
Be afraid to be yourself.
Agreed.
So what would be your last message to any aspiring artist out there? Of course, we shared a lot, but what stand out?
I'll try to close with taking from what you said, be yourself. You see, there are two kinds of artists. I always say this everywhere I go to. There's a good artist and there's a true artist. Now, these two, they're important. But you see, if you're a true artist, you will live art. And irrespective of what you see in the journey, you will not stop. Decide to be a true artist. Because if you're a true artist, it will show in everything you do. It doesn't have to be on a pictorial ground. It could be the way you dance. It could be the way you talk. It could be your radio shows. It could be the way you cook. It will just be the way you think. If you were going to make a rocket that will land in the sun, you will find art in it. And so I'll tell every young person who's coming up, try to be a true artist. Being a true artist is not easy. People will literally fight you and say, listen, what is it? Because you're expected to follow the norm. Everybody's comfortable you follow the norm. Now, once you disrupt the norm, everybody becomes uncomfortable. Now, that's where your bliss is. And so that's what I did. It took me a long time, but you can learn from my mistakes. You don't have to take 10 years before you know. So that's what I'll say. It's not always easy and it's not always simple, but it is beautiful. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
Glad
it's been fantastic hosting you, and I don't think we are hearing you for the last time.
No, I don't think
come again and again.
I will when you ask me to. I will. I love what you do.
Yeah.
I love what you do.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gerard.
Thank you, Gerard.
It's been wonderful. To our listeners, don't go away. Those who are on radio, stay tuned for more programs coming to you on Colorful Radio. And from our social media platforms, those who are watching us, keep it real, share your thoughts, and of course, as we close, we say, let's be ourselves, and let's never be shy away from being ourselves, and
Africa in focus.
And the buck, and him. Relax your mind, let your conscience be free. You're now rolling with the sounds of the L-O-V-E. Yeah. Come on. I said return to the dance floor. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's
come give me all your love. Come show me what's up. Are you licking me up, baby? Run and drive you crazy. Let me show you what a real woman is for once. Cause you ought to know.
To my daughter, can't help, they gotta hustle for a father.
That's right.
Made a shake, she fell in love with Harlem, so I took her to Harlem.
Let's go.
Love twisted, I need it, God sent it. My truth is no secret, I live it.
Yeah,
I brag different.
Come on.
Give me the same feeling when I had Christian. Say my name, baby, I appear. Showed her how to love without having fear. All I ever been is what a legend is. Girl, you
baby,
been the greatest rapper
that
ever lived.
Fire can cool.